May the Lord help us to commence this evening with hymn 807. 807. My brethren, why these anxious fears, these warm pursuits and eager cares for earth and all its gilded toys? If the whole world you could possess, it might enchant, it could not bless. False hopes, vain pleasures, and light joys. Hymn 807.
Thank you. Shall we read together this evening two portions from the Word of God? The first is found in Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 16, and we'll begin to read at verse 13 to the end of the chapter, and then turning to Paul's epistle to the Ephesians, and we'll read chapter 4 and the first 16 verses in chapter 5. Matthew chapter 16 and verse 13. When Jesus came into the coasts of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets." He saith unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Then charged he his disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ. From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed and be raised again the third day. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, "Be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee." But he turned, that's the Lord Jesus, but he turned and said unto Peter, "Get thee behind me, Satan, thou art an offence unto me, for thou savourest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men." Then said Jesus unto his disciples, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works. Verily I say unto you, there be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the Son of Man coming into his kingdom." So we now turn to the Ephesians and read chapter 4 and to the end of verse 16 in chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 4. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation with which ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavouring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bonds of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now he that ascended, what is it but he that also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Till we all come in the unity of the faith, and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lay in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, for whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves unto lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard him, and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbour, for we are members one of another. Be ye angry, and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labour, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to them that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, and that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamour and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savour. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you, as becometh saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as the children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. The Lord bless to us the reading of his word and grant us that help now in coming before him in prayer. Let us pray. Gracious, almighty, eternal, holy, holy Lord God, help us now. Help us to pray, Lord. Oh, hear that cry. Lord, help me. Oh, Lord, for we are coming unto thou who art almighty. Unto thee, O Lord, who seeth all things. There is nothing hid from thee. Thy word declares that man looketh upon the outward, but thou seest into the heart. And O Lord, so we would pray, as thou dost see into our heart. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. O Lord, for that dear man, as we read, or as thou spoke of him, Lord, beat upon that breast, beat upon that heart, so wicked. And yet, Lord, we venture, pleading that precious name of the dear Lord Jesus Christ, who came into this world to save sinners, able to save unto the uttermost. O Lord, thou who came, who laid thy glory by, as it were, O Lord, thou who walked upon this earth, thou touched with the feeling of our infirmities, yet without sin, thou who was scoffed, spat upon, set it naught, yet, Lord, thy great love wherewith thou didst love us, thy people, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Oh, we may sing, Lord, oh, the love of Christ to sinners. But might there be this night, Lord, we pray. Oh, let down by thy power, O Holy Spirit, that singing in the hearts of those gathered, of thy love, of thy mercy, that we might return praise unto thee. For great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, O Lord. And do help, Lord, thy trembling ones. O Lord, that they might venture, as that dear woman, emptied of everything, that I may but touch the hem of his garment. O Lord, help thy venturing one this night. Come to them, Lord. O Lord, speak those words of peace. O, those words to melt the heart, the trembling, fearful, hard heart. O gracious Lord, gather with us, O we pray. Lord, as we come to thy word, O how we pray, Lord, O that thou might grant us that help to set forth the truths of thy word, that it might be a living word unto a living soul, and they might hear that cry unto my soul, Lord. So help us then, as we are found gathered here. We pray, O Lord, it is truly in thy name, for thou hast promised to be in the midst. So we beseech thee, O Lord, to put thine arm about us this night, to keep us from those disturbances without, Lord, but to drive out those mighty enemies within us. And, O Lord, might it be as those upon that mount, they saw no man save Jesus only. O Lord, reveal thyself. Lift up the arms that hang down. Strengthen the weak knees, Lord, of thy people. Grant that help and strength to go on in that way that thou hast called us to walk in. And grant us submission, obedience to thy way and to thy will, whate'er it be, Lord, whate'er it be. So help now, O Lord. Hold us up, Lord, we pray. Be with each gathered, Lord, as we have prayed. Do watch over this church and people. Do be with those who have the responsibility of the place. Might there be the upholding of their arms. And, O Lord, any that sit in unconcern in these things, bring into concern. O Lord, for we know not the time nor the hour when we will take our last breath. And O Lord, heal the backsliders. Lord, we pray. We look in our own heart. O Lord, strengthen us to go on in that way that thou wilt have us to go. Bring us, Lord, to thy feet. As the dear mad Gadarene was brought to that place, clothed and in his right mind, and at thy feet, that we might bow before thee, thy will be done. So help then, Lord, we pray, that we would remember the gatherings of thy people throughout this world and throughout this land, O Lord. We think especially of those gathered at Luton. O Lord, in this path that they have not walked before, that they are now walking through, might they prove indeed, O Lord, that thou art with them. And thou art that comfort and that strength unto them. We pray especially for those with the responsibility of the cause of truth, that a special help and strength might be given at this time. And we would remember thy servants as they labour now, O Lord, and those who perhaps labouring for that third time, that thou wilt grant that strength and that thou wilt take them home in safety. And we pray for the loved ones of thy servants and the path that they walk, Lord. Oh, help us then truly to pray one for another in that bond of love in the gospel. Look in mercy upon our land and nation, Lord, we pray. What can we say? O Lord, truly men's hearts failing them. And we pray, O Lord, that in all this, that thou wilt keep us from leaning to our own understanding, that we might be found looking unto Jesus, looking unto thee, dear Lord, trusting in thee. So help now, as we have prayed with this people, we would especially pray for the babes, the children and the young people in the path of life, at school, at college, where it might be, that thou wilt watch over them and hear those prayers of those that whom they lay upon, that their names might be in thy book. So help now, Lord, and oh, help us to pray that thou wilt bring back the prodigals, there might be that returning. Is there anything too hard for thee, Lord? So be with us, gather with us, and grant that help in speaking and hearing, that all might be done to the honour and glory of thy holy name, Lord Jesus. And that we would beg, O Lord, the forgiveness of our every sin, pleading thy precious name, that name above every name. Amen.
Hymn 948. 948. What is this world to me? This world is not my home, a scene of pain, of grief and woe. When will my Saviour come? Hymn 948.
So Lord, might help me this evening, I would direct your thoughts to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 16, and verse 24. Matthew, chapter 16, and verse 24. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. The pathway of the Lord's people. The following of the Lord Jesus Christ. As that work of grace, as we look back in our lives, as we spoke a little this morning, that work unlooked for, but that time appointed of Almighty God, of that work of the Holy Spirit. We quoted this morning, we sing the words perhaps at times. The Spirit must the work perform, for it is all of grace. And as we look back, can we trace out that time, perhaps not the exact time, but in our lives, that bringing of us to that place, if not in the words, the reality of it, why am I thus? Why this concern for my never dying soul where there was no concern? And yes, with some, it may be as Lydia, whose heart the Lord opened. Maybe with others, as the Philippian jailer, whose the ground shaken beneath his feet, to bring to that realization that there is a God. But that work of the Holy Spirit within. And as we trace out the account and the Acts concerning Saul of Tarsus, his heart fixed upon the destroying of the early church, saw the martyrdom of Stephen, remained unmoved till that time that the Lord brought him down as he came to Damascus. Yes, had those letters in upon his person, but now laid in the dust. Who art thou, Lord? I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. That work within, that work of conviction, that work of bringing the sinner to cry for mercy, for forgiveness of our sins, that bringing of us to call upon that name, to take that name upon our lips, and perhaps with some of us, that name we had taken so wrongly upon our lips, but now that crying unto that name. That work begun, as Paul speaks of it, as we mentioned, I think, this morning, those words in the Philippians. He that has begun that good work will perform it unto the end. Yes, that finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ and the salvation of his people. But the walking out, as Paul was brought to that place, was brought to two places, was he not? Has that work begun? Behold, he prayeth. Can we look back in our lives to that time when we prayed? That communion known with the Lord Jesus Christ, that we had not known, but now the reality of it. And his cry, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? That following of the Lord Jesus Christ. The denying of self, the following of him. And in the third of Philippians, as Paul writes of these things, naturally it would, yes, the Lord sovereign in all things, but destined, it would have seemed, to high office in as a Pharisee. But no, the Lord's appointed purpose, one love from all eternity, loved because the Lord would love, unmerited, undeserved, free, electing love and mercy. And so is the gospel of free grace. All salvation, all of Almighty God, nothing of us. And as he writes of those things that he thought so much of, counted them but dung and dross, that he might know Christ, might know that power of his resurrection, might truly press toward that mark in that following of him. We would not go on too quick, as it were, but writing to those at Ephesus, as we read how they were caught up with idol worship, great is Diana of the Ephesians, was the cry. And as the Lord worked in the hearts of those gathered at the church at Ephesus, those that the letter read to them, speaking of those dark things that they had been so embroiled in, we read how they sowed all that, those books of great value, but dishonouring to the Lord. And that instruction of that following of the Lord. And perhaps you noticed as we read those times that that word, or those words, in love. Walk in love. And the new man, perhaps sung that hymn of Gadsby, in every believer two armies are seen, the new man of grace, the old man of sin. Do we know anything of it? That warfare that goes on. Sing in another place, from that moment the conflict begins. That following of the Lord Jesus Christ. In love to him, because he first loved us. We may sing, as we may have said previously when we've been here, I can from all things parted be, except, dear Lord, from thee, can we? As the Lord spoke to Peter, three times, yes, that denying of the Lord by Peter, "Lovest thou me more than these? Feed my sheep, feed my lambs. Lovest thou me more than these?" What of those idols in our lives? We speak lovingly and carefully, for as we read of idols, as it were, in the scripture, those statues, those things that people, those artifacts, or whatever you want to call them, that people bowed the knee to worship them. Child of God, what is an idol? Anything that draws our hearts away from the Lord. Can be our career, can be our children. Can be our office in the church. For the devil goes around, knows us, knows me, I'm sure he knows you inside out, and those things that would draw us away from the Lord. And the hymn writer writes, would not just repeat the lines for the sake of it, but that expresses the experience of the child of God in walking out in this pathway here below. In that way, that narrow way, the scripture declares, that leadeth to life everlasting. The dearest idol I have known, whate'er that idol be, take it, Lord, cast it away from thee. And dear John, the Apostle John, writing in that first epistle, closes, does he not? "Little children, keep yourselves from idols." And dear James writes, true religion, to visit the father, to the widows and the fatherless. What else? What else? Looking in my own heart, not anywhere else round. What else does he say? To keep ourselves unspotted from the world. And it's not a pharisaical walk. It's not a legalistic walk. It is that walk in love to the Lord for all that he has done for us. And yes, the enemies that, as that work is begun in us, suddenly we look back in our lives. Yes, a number of years now. The hatred of Satan to the things of God and all that he would do to creep in. The love of sin in our hearts. Something else, isn't there? The love of self. The love of self. That warfare within. Proud self, that self that would want to be something, that self, proud self, comes to mind. Many, many years ago in Canterbury, remember listening to Jabez Field, I believe of Lamberhurst, and in his sermon, of all that else was said, remembered this. He said, "Beware of the Pope." What? What? He said, yes, beware of the Pope, Pope Self, capital I. And that dear man, I believe I can understand now where he was coming from, what was he was speaking of. And so here the Lord says in that following of him, of that taking up of that cross, then said Jesus, and if any man will come after me, let him deny himself. May have sung those words to thee, the meanest, I'm content. Are we? Are we? Lovest thou me more than these? Follow thou me? And we know that Peter came to that point. Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Why? For there is that, I think we mentioned this morning, of that work of grace begun, performed unto the end, that that cannot be quenched, that that cannot be broken. To whom else can we go? Brought emptied. Brought emptied. As David in the 51st Psalm, one of his penitential psalms, in that pouring out of his soul before the Lord for that that he had done. Yes, he had wronged Uriah, had wronged Uriah's wife, but he had sinned against the Lord, that one he loved. Create in me a clean heart, renew a right spirit within me. Those true sacrifices of contrition, of repentance. Let him take up his cross, denying self. Denying self, and that following of the Lord in obedience, in submission to his will. We have that word in Isaiah. This is the way. That voice behind, this is the way, walk ye in it, turn not to the left nor to the right. That following of the Lord. And dear Peter, in that last chapter of John, and the Lord had spoken, follow thou me, then looks and sees John, and what shall this man do? Dear Peter, can we cast stones? No. What is that to thee, said the Lord? Follow thou me. Follow thou me. In that narrow way that leadeth to life everlasting. And it is a way of the, we look back in our lives and that dealing of the Lord's with us, child of God, that bringing down of ourselves all that we would lean upon, that emptying of us, that the Lord Jesus Christ might have the preeminence, that all honour and glory might redound to his holy name. And we speak lovingly as we come to those trials and those places in our lives and those times of difficulties, trying to work out why and what, that casting of all upon him. But in our dealings in these things,
need to examine ourselves. I do at times. That is it being done to the honour and glory of his name, the Lord, in the Sermon on the Mount, spoke of that walking in love to those that despitefully use you, following the Lord. We read how he was laughed to scorn. And if we were in a place and somebody laughed us to scorn and mocked us, how would we react? Denying self, following me. For that old nature in us at times, and we look in our own heart, how it wells up, become offended, somebody says something, bow the knee to the Lord. Lord, grant me that grace to pray for this one. And do not have time now. Read the first epistle of Peter and the end of the second chapter of that example of the Lord. As Peter had seen it, and as it is recorded, for what glory is it if when ye be buffeted for your fault ye take it patiently? But if when ye do well and suffer for it, ye take it patiently, it's acceptable unto God. And speaks then of the Lord, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. Take up that cross. The denying of self. Maybe suffering in that name of the Lord. Maybe in that following of him. In that service that he would have us to do in his name. And our hearts may have been set on something else. That bringing of us to bow the knee to the will of the Lord. And how many times, and we do not say this judgmentally, how many times has that, as it's spoken of, Lord's Prayer perhaps been said today in this country still? Thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Do we know that prayer? Do we know that prayer when the sovereign hand of Almighty God turns that thing upside down that we'd set our heart upon? Do we know that prayer? When the Lord brings to naught all these things, to bow the knee to the sovereign will of Almighty God. In that love to his name, and that love to his people, walk in love, walk in love. Comes close, does it not? Look in our own heart, that walking in love, as we read, and would not repeat the words we read together in the Ephesians, forgiving one another, forbearing one another. And in, is it the 13th of 12th of Hebrews, we have those words we may quote them regarding, it's in the 13th, isn't it? Being content with such things that we have. But what about the words that come before? Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have, for he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. The following of the Lord, dear the Apostle Paul, again in the fourth of Philippians, speaks that I've learned in whatever state I am to be content. Perhaps we said one to another that God, my God, shall supply all your need according to those riches in Christ Jesus. To be content with what the Lord has given us. And yet that sinful heart, we do not say excusing, for what is covetousness? That inordinate affection for those things that we do not have. A better this, a better that. Be content with such things that ye have. Let your conversation be without covetousness. Deny yourself, follow me. And John, writing in the second chapter of his first epistle, you may have noticed it was heading in the first hymn, love not the world, neither the things of the world. The lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, the covetousness, the sensual desires, if we say these things very carefully and lovingly, those things that are in our heart till that work of grace begun and that warfare that goes on. What does John say? They will bring no comfort. They will bring no comfort. They will only harden us. They will only draw us away from the Lord if we know anything of these things. All right, nearly there. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world, the pride of life, and the pride of life. Strange. But you know that portion of the scripture. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. And the dear Lord, as you may recall, in that Sermon of the Mount, said, no man can serve two masters. Either he will love the one and hate the other. He cannot serve God and mammon. And to my shame, child of God, we try. Lovest thou me more than these, follow thou me. That love to him, that great love wherewith he loved us, that following of the Lord. For all that, if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but of the world, and this world passeth away, and will all be gone. And that pride of life, the pride of life, what is it? To be thought something, to be the number one, as it were, above everything. And the dear Lord, just turn to it. Spoke in that parable in Luke concerning that man with those barns that we mentioned, I believe, this morning. And he said to them, take heed and beware of covetousness. And the parable of the Pharisee and the publican was to those who thought they were something, they were above everybody else. That capital I of the Pharisee. And we say this lovingly, but I believe I knew nothing of that spirit of the Pharisee till the Lord dealt with me. And it was in a small thing, going to the car on a Sunday morning, thinking and looking around, we're going to chapel. But for sovereign grace, we would not have been going there. That pride that is in us. And the Lord, and there is the mercy, again, as we read in Hebrews. Before we come to that point, where it speaks of the chastening of the Lord in that dealing with us, that chastening, that correcting of us, that disciplining of us in love. Whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth in love. And as the scripture speaks, yes, we correct our children, but may not always be in love. But the Lord's dealings with us in love. And the words of the hymn writer, perhaps it, people saw those words, and we not judging them, do not get me wrong. But what would they make of them? What do you make of them? His chastening's therefore prize, the privilege of a saint. Yes, child of God, are they not in that bringing of us, humbling, in that humbling of us, that correcting of us, in love. In the Lord, bringing us back. Perhaps we look back in our lives and that thankfulness of heart that there are those words in the 23rd Psalm. He restoreth my soul. What a mercy. It is so. The Lord's unchanging love and mercy, we would not say it presumptuously, to his people, to you, to me. And dear Paul, as we spoke of him, of those things that he suffered, denying self, let him take up his cross, deny himself, follow me. And we have those words in the 2 Corinthians in that 4th chapter where he speaks of We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, cast down, but not destroyed. Then comes to those words in the 17th verse, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, the things that are not seen are eternal. Denying self, our light affliction, which is but for a moment. That following of the Lord, that following of him. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever loses his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? For what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? For we are but upon this world, are we not? For a moment of time compared to eternity. And we spoke of that parable this morning, of that man that had those great, that harvest and those built those barns. This night thy soul required of thee. And as we spoke this morning, I believe, as we mentioned, of those words of the Lord, there is only one thing needful in this world. Only one thing. And as the Lord spoke to Mary, or to Martha rather, Mary hath chosen that better part. What of that one thing needful? What of our following of the Lord is that one thing needful? What of our love to him? For, and here is the mercy, do not say again presumptuously, but that love of the Lord is unchanging. And as we read the latter part of the 8th of Romans concerning that love, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Have we not returned that honour and glory to his name, that nothing shall separate from that love, as Paul lists those things, but these things in particular, neither things present nor things to come. Take up that cross, denying self, the following of the Lord. And we read in that portion in the Ephesians, and it comes so very close, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. Oh, what a mercy there is, a mercy seat. And that the Lord does deal with us, we do not say it again presumptuously, in love. And there is that bringing back as that good shepherd, that following of him, the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ, yes, but that following of him according to his word, according to his precepts. For we are not of this world, are we? No. The Lord prayed, as we read this morning, I pray for them, pray not for the world, that thou shouldest keep them from the evil of it, not should take them out, but bring us safely through. We look in our own heart. What are the truths of those things we have read this night? Try to bring before you that following of the Lord, that denying self, and that following of him. Amen.
God willing, Mr. Jabez Wright is expected to preach on Tuesday evening, and Mr. Timothy Pocock next Lord's Day, who also hopes to address the Sunday School. And Oakington hold their New Year services on Wednesday evening at 3:30 and 6:30. Let us close with hymn 680. Before all worlds the glorious plan, the blessed eternal deed, was settled by the eternal three, that Christ for man should bleed. Hymn 680.
Thank you.
Dear gracious Lord, do pardon all that thou hast seen amiss. Do gracious Lord, hear that cry. Oh, that I could love him more, his beauty's trace, his majesty adore. Oh, gracious Lord, grant us that strength to go on, to be found true followers of thee, forsaking all of self and following thee, not in anything of us, but in that love to thee, because thou didst first love us. So help us then, Lord, pardon as we have prayed anything that is amiss, but might there be that for our souls to feed upon. O gracious Lord, bless this people together, Lord, we pray, and those gathered in. Go with us, Lord, in our journeys. Be with us, we pray. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the union and communion of the Holy Ghost abide with us each, both present and absent, both now and forever. Amen.